League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome finally to, I'm sure, your long-awaited, long-overdue, much-anticipated Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. It's Friday. It's absolutely hitting it down at Heath Towers. The power's already been out once, so I'm hoping it's going to stay on for this podcast and the Wi-Fi isn't going to be too shady. Friends, it's taken a little while. We were hoping to be able to record this on Tuesday. As it stands, we're now recording it on Friday. You'll notice if you're watching on video, if this video even goes out, there's only two of us here, myself, obviously Mark Heath, and the youngest of guns, Alex Jones, AJ. Points of order, Stuart Watson's on holiday this week, is, I believe, half term. So like most parents in the free world, he's off. He wasn't technically, didn't end up being off because he was working from Cornwall Monday and Tuesday, poor old boy. He is now officially off though, so he's not around. I'm sure a lot of you want to know what he thinks about it all. And if you do, he's written an excellent chin-stroking Watson special on our website now about Kieran McKenna soap opera and the New Deal. Go and read that. Rossi is moving house and is also off this week, apart from spotting Jeremy Sarmiento at goals on Monday night and blessing us with the knowledge that he is very good at football, which is good. But the man who is here, of course, Alex Jones, AJ, house scenes. It's not, I've got to be honest, mate, as much as I enjoy working with you, it's not been the funnest of weeks, has it?
No, I'm good all in all. I think I had a nice weekend off. Yours, I those who don't get the peek behind the curtain, Mr. Heath here is very good at asking me constantly to book time off, and I'm really bad at booking time off. So I had a nice weekend away, nonetheless, Friday through to Monday, in around Southwold. So that was nice, being able to kind of push away from all of the circling rumours. I think that we've all been a little bit guilty sometimes, probably aside from you, actually, Mark, guilty of kind of getting swept up by them. And sometimes having those little breaks can distance yourself from them, and then you can come back with a fresh mind. And it was actually driving back from that the news broke that Kieran McKenna was going to sign a new deal. So that was a nice, lovely feeling. But other than that, yeah, good up until probably the last few days where it's just been waiting and waiting and waiting. We all knew what was going to happen. Trying to work through things like print deadlines and online content. We can't say this until it's official, until this has been done. It's just waiting for everything to fall into place. And it wouldn't be right unless it took until right at the end of the week for it all to happen. So glad that we're at that point now.
Yeah, good things come to those who wait, as they say. But I did start to wonder, having known since this was happening, since Tuesday, obviously, if it was ever actually going to get officially announced. Thankfully, it has been. And AJ, as you mentioned there, has been integrating himself into Suffolk life as well. A little break on Southwold, which is one of my favourite spots in Suffolk and indeed probably on the planet. Right then, AJ, the details of this. Kieran McKenna, as we knew, has been confirmed now, has signed a new four-year deal at Ipswich Town. Reports that it's $6 million a year he's getting weighed in with, which is lovely stuff and well-deserved, which is a big statement in itself. Let's start with your opening thoughts, our opening thoughts on this then, AJ. What's your first take on this?
Sheer delight, more than anything. One of the things that has stuck out to me consistently since coming to cover town is a line that Mark Ashton said, which is, our consistency is our superpower. And you've seen that in the last 2 years, because by keeping a very similar playing group and by keeping the same manager and the same backroom staff, by not doing too much in terms of constantly looking to upgrade and overhauling and like really maybe over pushing and striving to reach the top, they've been able to do it in their own way. And if they essentially lost the head of that, the person who's had the biggest influence in the summer, that will probably be the hardest of the game changer era, let's be honest, with the amount of work that's going to need to go on, in terms of the squad and what needs to be done to get that up to Premier League standards, but also with the impact that he's had in terms of things like the training ground, and I'm sure he's probably even had the odd conversation about what needs to happen at Portman Road, all those different things. Kieran McKenna has had an influence in every part of this football club. So if he was to leave, and throughout this, I've had my concerns in terms of, I think the jobs he's been linked with have been really appealing. I think it's fairly clear that the three clubs who have been interested have all probably been interested, have all had talks, and that's fair enough. I couldn't have really blamed them for taking any of them, because they're all really big jobs and they're really exciting ones, and they'd probably be really good for his career. So the fact that he's ended up staying is brilliant. Yes, I know there'll be the financial incentives there. There's the incentives of wanting to kind of maybe stay a little bit safer. He knows that there's a project to build here, and that the situation at Ipswich is much less volatile than one of the quote-unquote bigger clubs. But at the same time, I think it does show his loyalty. And there were some people who had started to question that before we'd even really heard from the man himself in terms of what was going through his mind. So to hear that, as we have done, to see it now with the proof in the pudding in terms of the fact he signed that contract, I think that the feeling is relief. And also, I guess from both of our perspectives, it's the fact that it's all done now, realistically. You'd say that there aren't going to be any more managerial links for Kieran McKenna this summer. We can move on to the important things, looking ahead at the Premier League, looking ahead at who could come in terms of the players and stuff like that. And this kind of thing that's been hanging over all of us just gets put to one side for, you'd hope, at least 12 months, possibly even longer.
Yeah. I mean, my thoughts on it are, first of all, no one will ever really know what's happened behind the scenes, because clearly they're not going to fully 100% confirm that. Only a very, very small number of people will know what is actually been going on amidst all this noise. So, yeah, we shall see. The loyalty thing's interesting, because we seem to hold people in football to a higher standard, don't we, than we'd hold ourselves to. If someone came to me, put myself in Kieran McKenna's shoes, say the Sunday Times came to me and said, Heathy, we think you're amazing, I'd go, correct. They say, we want to quadruple your wages to do basically what you're doing now, I'd say, yes, please, I'm out of here. And no one would think any less of me. Obviously, you've got to do what's best for yourself and your family. And so it's only, I think, justified. If indeed he was having these conversations, absolutely no problem with that at all. To be loyal, he has been loyal, but you also have to be loyal to yourself, first of all, and your family. So I don't think there's any problem there. And for me, I mean, obviously, I went on record and said I didn't think he would go anywhere. That was a stab in the dark based on what we know about his personality and also how hard Town would fight to keep him. But everything that Town have built, as you've already touched on there, AJ, is around stability, consistency, and this kind of almost unique kind of band of brothers feel that they've engendered at the club. And were Kieran McKenna to go, who is kind of the lead, if you like, the sergeant major of that particular band of brothers, I think that would have really, really been a blow that Town would have very much struggled to come back from. And then you start to obviously see the effect on the playing squad and stuff. You only have to listen to the players talk about him to see how much they'll love him and how much they trust him and how much they'll run through walls for him. So the fact that he's still here is massive, I think, for Ipswich Town going to the Premier League and gives them the best chance possible, shall we say, to attack the league, as Mark Ashton is so fond of saying. Last night, AJ, as expected, they put out a nice long interview with Matt Holland, who did a good job, I thought, marshalling that one with Kieran and Mark Ashton. You watched it all and have been transcribing it all feverishly. If you want to read takes on that, that's also out there. AJ put the first bit out last night. What were your takeaways from that video as a whole, AJ, in terms of talking about it? Because I thought it was good that they didn't shy away from talking about the speculation.
Yeah, I like the honesty. I like the honesty from Kieran McKenna's side. I mean, there's not a great deal of honesty that Mark Ashton needs to come out with, because he has been totally transparent throughout, and everything that he's said has kind of materialised into reality. He's often spoken about, when you have all the speculation, you're going to hear it from us first. We've obviously tried to take the same approach in the content that we've put out, and we hope that that's appreciated by the fan base, that we've always tried to kind of stick to those principles of really what we know, and leaving the speculation for others and sometimes for podcasts to talk about stuff like that. But from Kieran McKenna's side in particular, I like the honesty. I like the fact that he came out and said, look, there has been interest, and you can see that with the amount of reports that have come from the press. There's no smoke without fire. And with those, there was kind of a decision to make. He had conversations with people and teams. We don't know necessarily to what extent, to who those clubs are and which one of the three or more or whatever those are going to be. But he was open about that still and said, at the end of the day, there is always a decision to make, but he's so happy with the one that he has made. And you have to have lots of different factors that come into that. He spoke about that at length. Obviously, the ones that he won't mention will be things like the financial aspect, and that's fair enough. He deserves the whatever the reported figure is going to be, 6 million, 5 million, whatever. I think he's shown more than enough that he warrants those kind of figures at this point. But also, I think the bit that stood out to me was how he was talking about the people that are working around him. He spoke about the coaching staff, really, really important, but also spoke at length about Mark Ashton, spoke about the fact that Ed Schwartz came over from the United States to talk to him, to have those conversations. He said he didn't need convincing to sign the new deal, but I think that it's just that kind of reminder that sometimes you need when you've got conversations with big clubs. You're hearing things like, well, we want you and we're going to give you a big transfer budget and you're going to have this and that and whatever. But knowing what you've got, I think, is the biggest thing. And you could see that this is someone who's genuinely happy with the decision that he's made. He knows that for his family and for his future, it's the best thing. And that was what stood out to me the most. I like the fact that it's now a case of saying, right, let's crack on with business. A lot of the interview was saying, we've got the Premier League to prepare for. It's a huge step up. I know, and they know, that they couldn't have this saga hanging over them throughout the whole summer. So I sense that there is probably a bit of relief to get it all done now. But it's, yeah, A, the honesty, and B, the fact that they're just willing to crack on and go again immediately. And there's such excitement in what they want to do. They're talking about it, knowing that they're going to enjoy the next 12 months, talking about the preseason, talking about the summer, talking about the redevelopments, all those different things. You can tell that this is where he wants to be.
Yeah, I mean, my three takeaways would be from the video. Kieran talking about how fit, you know, he's fiercely ambitious. We know that already, saying he wants to work at the very highest level of the game. He is a rocket ship going right to the top, isn't he, McKenna? And it's inevitable at some point, friends, sorry to break this to you, he isn't going to be manager of Ipswich Town forever. He is at some point going to make that jump. But I think, obviously, the longer that Town can hold on to him, the better. It's only inevitable at some point that move is going to come because he's so bloody good. The I didn't need convincing thing I thought was really interesting, because I think Matt said, what convinced you to stay, Kieran? And both he and Ashton were kind of very keen to make the point that he didn't. It wasn't the case of Ashton desperately trying to convince. You see a picture, don't you, of Ashton kind of going, please, Kieran, just stay. We'll give you a bigger office, that kind of stuff. And they were both very keen to say, no, that wasn't the case. It was never I needed convincing to stay, which I thought was interesting. And also, again, we've obviously heard from Ashton a lot about this, but he says a lot of external noise, not a lot of internal noise, but a lot of external noise, which I think, friends, is a foreshadowing of the summer ahead in terms of Ipswich Town. Because now this is done, one soap opera is out the way, I'm sure there's going to be many more over the summer as the transfer window opens and we get all sorts of links and rumours and gossip and who's signing who and they're going here and all that kind of stuff. That's going to be elevated to the 10th degree now Town are in the Premier League. What I will say on that, without wishing to start, go off on a tangent about the state of journalism today, friends. You know, we've already touched on it. Clearly, you know our approach to things. We're only going to bring you stuff on stories like this that we absolutely 100% can verify, stand up, multi-sourced, absolutely 100% confident on. I will say, friends, and consider this going forward, consider the source, consider the fact that a lot of these people putting stories out aren't necessarily too bothered whether they're right or not. They're more bothered about how many page views they're going to get. And also because they don't cover the club every day like we do, they're not intimately involved with the stories, the people behind the club. And they're not, again, they're probably not too bothered about whether they're right or not. Because if they're not, they can just chuck another story out. And it won't bother them too much. So as always, friends, clearly I would say this, but we take our responsibility to you seriously. And on stories such as this, we will only ever bring you stuff that we can 100% confirm, verify, and are confident that it's correct. With that said then, AJ, how big do you reckon this is in terms of Ipswich Town, right? They are probably, if not the story, one of the stories in football this season. the biggest stories, maybe the biggest stories in all of sport from the kind of fairy tale aspect of things. So they've got this back-to-back promotion. They're in the Premier League, first time in 22 years. And now they've kept this young gun manager that everyone, if they don't want him, they're certainly aware of him. He's probably the hottest prospect in or property in management in England at the moment. And we've seen, you know, Manchester United being linked with him, for God's sake. The club that he supports, the club that he loves. And in the face of all of that, yes, clearly Manchester United do still have a manager. He stayed at Ipswich Town. How big do you think that is as a statement? And also in terms of the details of the contract being bandied about, clearly, we can't confirm. No one's going to actually tell us how much he's getting paid, but we're talking serious money. It's like another kind of bold statement of intent, isn't it, for Ipswich Town, that they're here, they can compete, and they can keep hold of their number one asset.
Yeah, Kieran McKenna coming into his first press conference telling us all, oh, I've earned another 2 million since I've last spoke to you.
Just making it rain. Just walks in.
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
I think that it was actually a point that Stu made in his piece. None of us probably quite expected this level of interest and talks and all those different things. It started off with the Brighton links initially when Roberto De Zerbi moved on. That was announced. I kind of thought that was going to be the limit of it. I didn't expect that just a few hours later, almost, that Chelsea would sack their manager and that would then start a whole saga. It is mental to think, if you said to us at that point, like before De Zerbi had gone, that within the next fortnight, Kieran McKenna would be the odds-on favourite with pretty much most bookmakers, I'd say, to manage Manchester United, Chelsea and Brighton at different points within that kind of two-week period. You would have thought you're insane. The speculation has been crazy. I know that it's not really ideal, but it's the fact that everyone has kind of descended on this football club, a football club that just over 12 months ago played Fleetwood Town in the league game. No offense,
you love
Fleetwood.
That, don't you? You love bringing that up.
I do, but it's fair enough. And you could talk about any of the kind of clubs that they'd come up against in that point. Again, no real disrespect meant to them, but you go from that where no one really kind of at the national and definitely international level really had that kind of eye on the club,
no
and
then all cares, of a sudden, let's be honest, no one cares about Ipswich Town in League One. We've seen it,
yeah. So you then get to just over a year later, and all of a sudden, it's the back page. I've got a screenshot here, Mirror Sport back page. The Special K, Chelsea, Brighton, and United all have Ipswich boss Kieran in their sights. McKenna is the one they all want. Having that kind of speculation surrounding it is weird because you kind of get this feeling of, wow, this is really big time now, getting mentioned in the same breath as all these clubs. Just a few hours after he just gone and won the LMA Award, pipping Pep Guardiola and Mikel Arteta to win that and getting photos with Sir Alex. And it's a little bit bizarre that all of a sudden that we're going into these conversations about Manchester United and what Chelsea are doing. Teams that are, I mean, United, I'd argue, probably the biggest club in England based on their history, and Chelsea a team that won the Champions League recently. So that's one bit in terms of just the scale and magnitude of what we've just had and what is going to happen over the next few months in terms of player signings and preparing for the Premier League, all those different things. And being able to then go through and keep him with the level of finances that are going to be in that contract is pretty astonishing, knowing that his annual salary is going to be probably more than the transfer budget was around a year ago. That is unbelievable. And I think that obviously you have to factor in the fact they've gone up, there's going to be more money there, but it also shows the ambition of those in the ownership group.
Absolutely,
to keep him. And you hear, when we've heard from the kind of the senior figures, from Schwartz, from whoever, with ORG and these really key figures, they've always said we believe in this management team. And I think that's echoed in the fact that they've gone out here and said, we're going to back you, we're going to pay you well because you deserve it, we're going to probably match, if not better, some of the offers that you might have had in the last couple of weeks. And we're going to make sure that you feel valued here. Maybe he's gone and spoken to some of these clubs where he feels or heard about the reputation and thinks, oh, actually, I'm not really necessarily too sure I'm going to get that at this club or that club. He knows he's going to get it at Ipswich. And as you said, in the end, there will be a point where a top team, a Manchester United, for example, will probably come along and it'll be a hard offer to turn down. But the fact that at this point, Ipswich is the club for him, despite everything, despite all these huge clubs lingering around with huge ambitions, playing at the top level in the Champions League, in Europa League, whatever, just speaks volumes as to where the club is as well. Mm. It's not just about Kieran McKenna. It is also about the direction that the club is heading in, and that is so, so exciting.
Mm. Yeah, I think, again, another key point. We know that Kieran McKenna is fiercely ambitious. We've always said that he'd be at this club, hopefully, for as long as they match his ambitions. And clearly, he's made the decision that they do still match that ambition, which is great. Let me ask you another question, AJ. We said, I think last week when we were talking about this, that perhaps we were unlucky that we're in a summer where there's suddenly all these massive jobs available. Is it, in a way, could we argue, lucky? Because if it was just Brighton, for example, and Man United wasn't dangling in front of him like a carrot, or Chelsea wasn't there, do you think there'd be maybe more chance? If it was just Brighton, a straight decision, do you think there may be more chance that he'd have decided that now was the time to go?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, because I don't think that he would have expected this level of interest. We've had so many different rumours, my God. Going back 12 months ago, we had Celtic and Leicester earlier in the season. I think there was probably a little bit of contact from Crystal Palace before they went with Oliver Glasner. And then to go and have that step up again from that to the biggest clubs, I don't think he really expected that. I think that it probably, to an extent, this is nothing against Kieran McKenna at all, but it probably does speak volumes a little bit about what the managerial market is right now. You don't have as many of these real heavy hitters. If you look at the huge names, I could think free agent-wise, Pochettino, Thomas Tuchel, and if a club can somehow manage to get Zinedine Zidane into another job, you're looking at Bayern Munich appointing Kompany, you're looking at Chelsea appointing Enzo Maresca. It's starting to sway away from this kind of big constant beast cycle, of managers with absolutely colossal pedigrees, have won the Champions League, won the league, done this, that, and the other, for managers who are younger and want to build projects and grow clubs and have that kind of charisma to then go and be at the top eventually and replace those who might already be there. I think that a lot of that has actually come from Ipswich at some level, where clubs have seen what they've done in the last couple of years and gone, oh, we want a bit of that. How many young coaches have we seen in the EFL in the last 18 months, maybe?
One appointed at Norwich yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. He's, what, 35 or something like that?
35,
There's loads more. And it's now the new trend, the new cycle. I think Ipswich have had a part to play in that. And it's started to translate towards the top. So the fact that he has had this interest from Chelsea, from Manchester United, assuming that is what the situation is, you could probably hazard a good guess that that is what's happened in the last couple of weeks, then I think it probably has made him think twice, because I think maybe there's been this idea that a Brighton has been a little bit of kind of a halfway house, a step up of thinking, well, if I go and take the Brighton job, I maybe get them into Europe, have a good spell there, then eventually I'll get the Manchester United job.
Yeah.
Maybe this has now started to dawn on him. Don't need to bridge the gap here. I can go and jump directly up, and this interest has proved that.
Absolutely. And just before we get on to the mailbag, we've got plenty of your questions and thoughts to take, AJ. One final question for you. We've talked a lot about, particularly getting promoted from the Championship into the Premier League, and how it's lovely to do it in the playoffs. Playoff finals are probably the best way to do it, but it does set you back in terms of that preparation period. You've got that kind of extra two or three weeks, whatever it is, you can't 100% plan for. Has this, do you think, in any way set Town back in their preparations for the Premier League? Because you'd imagine all guns blazing towards the Premier League, and then you suddenly have this speculation around your manager, you've got to get him to sign a new deal, all this kind of stuff. Do you think there's any argument that might potentially set Town back?
External noise is loud, internal noise is loud. The Mark Ashton line. Sorry. Yeah, a little bit, probably. Let's be honest. It will probably slow things down. If they're sat there having conversations with players, we've heard Omari Hutchinson links left, right and centre. Ajax, Feyenoord, Stuttgart, whatever. We know that Town are probably going to push very hard to bring him back, and it sounds like there might be some sort of availability on a permanent deal for teams that want it. But if Kieran McKenna's future's up in the air, if he wasn't at the club, it would almost be a non-starter, I'd say, to be perfectly honest, because he's spoken about just how brilliant Kieran McKenna is. So you have all these things. There'll be other negotiations that would have happened, other plans where you need McKenna's input. And if there's something dangling over his future where he could be gone within 24, 48, 72 hours, you can't go on and then progress those plans. You can't go and talk to signings who are just going to come in and say, well, if I don't know who I'm playing under, why would I sign for you? You can't progress with these plans unless you then have the sign off from a man who probably at that point wasn't 100% sure that he'd still be at the club. So it does slow things down. I like the fact that Mark Ashton said, well, look, at the end of the day, we've still got a club to run. We've still got to go and push ahead to sort out things with the Premier League. We've still got to have those meetings with them to sort out the rules, the regulations, the finances, the stadium. So it probably has slowed things down a little bit, but I don't think it's the same as maybe Southampton's position, where they are very much going to be having this kind of catch-up. They won the game to take them up to the Premier League, what, just under a week ago? Players are all going to be off. They're already a couple of weeks behind, whereas with Ipswich, I think that the plans have been in place for a long time, and it's probably a little bump in the road they didn't want this summer, but all in all, it's going to play a fairly small part in what they want to do in the next kind of 2 months or so.
Yeah, as Ashton said, the price of success, essentially. And the other thing I should also mention before we move on to Mailbag, excellent to see that his entire kind of staff getting new contracts and big wage bumps as well. Shows, again, that they're taking the whole approach in terms of his team. Right then, Mailbag. Obviously, this is dominated by McKenna. They're not all questions. Some of them are just statements, and I'm going to read some of them out. Starting off with the sweetest of Welsh princes, Harvey Davis, a friend of the show. Moral of the story, listen to Mark. Everybody calm down. We've got Super Kieran McKenna. I couldn't possibly say it myself.
You had to start off with that one, didn't you?
Couldn't possibly say that myself. And listen, my wife would definitely disagree with you, Harvey. No one should listen to Mark. He's an idiot. He's always wrong. But yeah, I just, you know, just throwing it out there.
Was that the top question?
That was the top question. Absolutely. That was the top.
Okay, fair enough. I did clip up the bit that you said.
Yeah.
Put that out on socials after the McKenna news kind of been confirmed, and went through, listened to that, and it was one of those. I was like, oh, you know what, he's right, and it's good that he's right, but he's also going to be so smug about it. It's going to be like me with the predictions league. I was expecting you to come on and do a whole I told you so monologue.
No, but listen, I'm better than that, but yes, I was correct.
That's not a good dig.
Right then, Nigel G, friend of the show, man with the big fish. This is actually a question. He says, this was the best news. Now we can really start looking forward to the season. Which is the ground that Stu, Alex and Roscoe are most looking forward to visiting this season? Well, Stu, we obviously know, will be Goodison Park. Is it still Goodison Park? They've not got a new stadium yet, have they?
No, new stadium will come in next summer. Looks very excellent. Steep. So, yeah, still Goodison Park.
So Stu can go to Goodison Park.
Oh, if he's booked off on holiday or something like that.
Probably will be. Yeah. Roscoe is not here, so we can't ask him. I would speculate that Ross would probably say something like Old Trafford or Anfield. What about you, AJ? Which ground are you most looking forward to going to?
I have a feeling he'd just go, oh, I don't care.
He probably would. Actually, no, Ross probably would say that. I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, we're in the Premier League, boys. Mm. That'd be the main thing. I still have his That Tastes Like Promotion video ingrained into my mind, which is brilliant. For me, there's a handful that I haven't ticked off. I feel like I've ticked off a lot of the big ones, essentially, aside from Old Trafford, so that'd be up there, albeit that I'm very concerned about getting wet. Having looked at what happens at Old Trafford when it rains, turns into some sort of like massive flood over there. So a little bit worried about that. From a Liverpool sporting background and family, Anfield's an interesting one to go cover a game at. That'll be pretty unique. From my girlfriend's side, obviously, going to the London Stadium to cover a game will be bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, the ones I haven't ticked off yet kind of stand out. Come to mind more than anything. It was things like Villa Park. I really like the look of. Will probably be the one that stands out the most to me. So I haven't really chosen one there. Just kind of spoken through it a little bit. If I had to choose one, if I had to choose one, I'm just going to go to Villa Park. Never been before. Nice old ground. They'll be in the Champions League next season. It'll be a nice one to tick off.
Excellent. Right then, Tom Baines says, it seems utterly bonkers we've managed to convince him to stay over two super clubs and one of the best-run clubs in the Premier League. When was the last time we had to do that with the manager? Never in my lifetime, all been sacked on mutual consent. And that's a great point, Tom. I mean, I think Ashton said in the video, didn't he, the last time that a manager left town of their own volition was Sir Bobby Robson, who went on, did all right, didn't he, in his career. So, again, good signs. Peter, dear old Peter, our Warsaw correspondent, I wouldn't fancy our chances in the Premier League without him. There's no doubt he's the best man for the job. If paying him an obscene amount keeps us up, then every penny would be worth it. However, he says, only Dr. Watson has come out of this whole affair with his reputation enhanced. Good argument, Peter. I like it. Chris Bennett, glad this nonsense has been put to bed. Can we just enjoy our summer now and stop panicking? See you in August. Well, you might be able to, Chris, but unfortunately, there's going to be
not how our job works.
No, no, there's going to be a whole summer long dramas around transfers now coming up, yeah. Which obviously I love.
I want to kind of quickly just go back to the previous one, actually, in terms of the surviving without Kieran McKenna one. I think it was an interesting point because it would have been a huge blow taking a squad that has been raised to this level by the manager and having someone else come in would have been really, really difficult. At the same time, as hard as it would have been, I do also have the faith in those running the club that the appointment would have been good if Kieran McKenna had gone and that it would have been the right person to take the club in the right direction. I was having to look through what the options were there. For a long time, I've been quite strongly behind Steve Cooper, who's now, maybe the favourite for the Brighton job, funnily enough. There were some others that come to mind. You know, Graham Potter would be an interesting one. For the football nerds out there, I was a big fan of Urs Fischer, who took Union Berlin from kind of nowhere in the second tier to being a Champions League side within about three or four seasons. So there were kind of options out there. And I think that the best one that you want is Kieran McKenna staying at this football club for as long as possible for that consistency. And him leaving would have been a huge blow in terms of both the short-term future and survival, but also the long-term future of developing this club. But I also did have faith that if it was going to happen, this club would get it right. So, yeah, I think that it's fantastic that he stayed. It's the biggest thing. But definitely an argument to say that maybe those who were really, really worried about what the future would hold, I would have had quite a strong faith.
Okay. James Cummins says, the retained list, any idea we can officially expect an announcement? Now, clearly this has been delayed somewhat by all the shenanigans, the kerfuffle going on with McKenna. They normally release it before June the 1st, and clearly today is the last day before June the 1st. All the players will already know what's going on. I'm sure that's all
ruin my day if they announce it today.
Yeah, well,
they announce it this afternoon.
You never know. But I think they have until the middle of June to actually officially announce it. And I know the Premier League put out the retained list on June the 16th last season. We don't actually know. We're kind of just waiting for it. But it's definitely been delayed by all the shenanigans, hasn't it, AJ?
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see what the situation is. With that, I'd imagine that there were probably plans to get it out within the last week or so, and those would have had to have been shelved with all these talks and the new contract until it was all sorted out. So I would imagine it will be over the next few days. I'm going to leave that as kind of an open-ended thing because we just don't know. But I think there is a point where those conversations had to be had. I would assume probably quite a lot of them, if not all of them, have already been had, and it's just a case of waiting for them to be announced, and as soon as they are, we'll be on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Not today, please, though, Town. Come on, give us a day of grace.
Please.
As you say, Jay, all the players would already know what's going on there. Where should we go next? Should we do not transfer ones? Adam Wright says, hard to stay calm, not listen to an outside noise and speculation. We have to trust the club, trust the process, as Mark Ashton would say. But now my question to the other Kings. Will McKenna get his present of Amari he asked for at the end of season due? Another one here from Luke saying, with McKenna staying, I think a lot more players will be open to joining Ipswich, especially as they would have seen the jobs he's turned down to stay. And they'll realise how special he sees the club and the project and how big jobs have gone. He'll be here for a few more years yet. So Amari's obviously the one you've already kind of touched on, AJ. But there's no doubt that keeping Kieran McKenna strengthens their hand in the transfer market as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll touch on the second one first. For those interested in that kind of narrative, I've got a piece coming out at some point whenever Mr. Heath decides to put it out.
Monday.
Monday it's going to be. So Monday, 6 a.m, I'd imagine, that will be essentially putting you, the reader, into the shoes of a prospective signing and what Kieran McKenna would say to you to convince you to come to the club and what Mark Ashton would say. So I think that, as was said there, the fact that Kieran McKenna has agreed to stay will definitely have a big sway. I think that the links that he has with certain players will help in terms of ex-Tottenham, ex-Manchester United, all those different bits. It'll be interesting to see what the relationships are with those clubs, potentially, that he could have turned down. You'd think that there's seemingly a thought that he's turned down the Brighton job, and these you might have to go back and say, "Oh, by the way, can we have Jeremy Sarmiento for another season, please?" Might be a little bit awkward to then have to go do that, but it will play a big part for sure. I think that you're going to see a number of clubs that come in and say, "Well, do you want to be here?" Well, it's going to be because of the manager, because of all the brilliant things we've heard about him and the fact that he wants to stay here. Maybe some players as well who think, "Well, if I come to Ipswich and impress, and he goes to Manchester United in a year or two, maybe I could go to Manchester United with him." That's that side of it as well. That's just how football works.
Mm.
In terms of Amari, I think there's anything that really we can say or confirm in terms of that story, but loads of rumours going around. We've said before, Ajax and Feyenoord linked. It seems like Stuttgart seem to be the biggest rivals. They can offer Champions League football as well for him. With the new manager situation, I don't think it's going to get cleared up soon. I think Maresca's going to come in and see what he thinks of the squad and what he thinks of Hutchinson before we can then progress and talk about whether he'd be allowed to leave, whether he'd be allowed to leave on loan or on a permanent. I've heard the 20 million figure thrown around a lot, which is mental in terms of what Town can do and the fact that Town are competing in theory with the Champions League side to get his signature. We'll have to wait and see, but he'd be a magnificent addition into the Premier League for sure. And the one thing that he needs, I think, above anything else is to play regularly. If he's going to be doing that under Kieran McKenna, huge future for him.
Mm. I think my favourite theory that I thought around all the delays in officially announcing McKenna was that they were waiting so they could do the double announcement. McKenna and Amari, that's the first.
Bring thing. Them both out at the Suffolk show.
Yeah.
Like they just come out on a Suffolk punch each, riding be, into the crowd.
That would be the most Ipswich Town thing ever. And they've missed a trick by not doing it, actually, AJ. Yeah. ITS Gumbooth says, "Am I wrong for not really wanting Sarmiento back on loan? I'd love him on a permanent, but I'm not sure he's worth one of our two Prem loan spots, especially considering McKenna's reputation among the top clubs. I think we're in prime spot to get some of the best young talent from them." So Sarmiento was back in Ipswich on Monday. He was in the cages at goals, playing with his mates in his Brighton training gear. But if they're going to get him back, would you agree there with Gumbooth that it needs to be a permanent, AJ?
Not necessarily. I think that, yeah, there is definitely an argument that Premier League clubs will want their, or top clubs rather, will want their players to develop under someone like Kieran McKenna. But how many are necessarily going to send them to Premier League rivals, as Ipswich now are? You see it a lot less these days. You often get one or two, but there's not too many. So I think that's part of it. Then you have to look at what the other deals are going to be. If you have to choose between taking Jeremy Sarmiento on a permanent or Amari Hutchinson on a permanent, with no disrespect to Jeremy Sarmiento, I'd be paying the 20 million for Amari Hutchinson right there to bring him in just because of the ceiling he has and the quality that he's shown. I think that the two slots thing is interesting. At the end of the day, there are initial reports that Sarmiento's deal would be available for another year if Town got promoted. That was what was reported from Ecuador when he initially signed. So we'll have to wait and see if there is an option to trigger there. It might be something that's brought in with the retained list. We'll have to wait and see. It might be later in the summer. He's obviously going off to the Copa America with Ecuador, where he's been playing for them quite regularly. I think he'll get some good minutes there. So a really nice one for him. Nice warm-up for him to be playing at goals as well. So, God, going from goals to playing, it's like Messi's Argentina. It's going to be a really weird one for him. Yeah, I wouldn't be unhappy at all about him coming back for another season. I think that he's proved that he's more than capable of contributing from the start now when we maybe had some doubts. And I think he just would be worth that loan slot, to be perfectly honest. I'm really impressed with him. And look, if he comes in, makes that step up again in the Premier League where he hasn't been able to play consistently with Brighton, then in 12 months' time, Town are still a Premier League club, then there's maybe the scope to have those discussions about him joining on a permanent.
Hmm. Right, a couple of good questions here. Martin Cuthbert says, "This is obviously wonderful news. I just worry we may have another media circus come November, December, when sacking season starts, when it would be much more disruptive then to ITFC." So let me paint this picture for you then, AJ. We get to December. Chelsea have already sacked Maresca. Man United are imploding. Ten Hag, if he's still there, is on his way out. Kieran McKenna, Ipswich Town are either doing really well, better than expected in the Premier League, or are struggling. I don't think it matters too much which way, because you could make an argument either way then that he'd be interesting. Do you think that's something we may have to deal with again when sacking season in the Premier League inevitably starts?
Yeah, to be honest, yeah. God. But right. One of the interesting bits that Ashton brought up was one of the things like this kind of outside speculation never really lasted last season when the Palace job, for example, was floating around, because they were playing so often. Obviously, the games in the Premier League are a little bit more spread out, but it's so hard when, and we feel it almost as journalists, to be honest, where you don't have a second to breathe in between because you've got build up, you go into a game, you cover the game or you play the game, manage the game, whatever. And then you have a few days to discuss it, look back on it, reflect on it. And then all of a sudden you're straight back into the next one. It's a constant cycle. And if you don't live like that as a manager or as a player, you're not going to be successful. It really has to be that constant kind of intensity. McKenna described as like monk-like, I can't remember what the...
Monk-like discipline, monk-like. I think.
Yeah, that was it. So you have to have that to be a success. And he knows that. I also don't see him being the kind of manager to have his loyalty tested over the summer to stay and then to dump a club midway through the season, to be honest. So I think those two things will definitely play a part in whether that would happen. I think that realistically he's going to be here for the long haul. I don't think that a club necessarily would look at him and think we want him to make that step up straight into a disaster team, because if Chelsea sacked their manager, it's going to be a hard situation to come into. If Manchester United sacked Ten Hag in November, December, whatever, it's going to be a horrible situation to come into. McKenna is someone that needs to be able to build things over a summer, over a pre-season, and making that kind of step up into a team that's in disarray, as both those clubs would be in that situation, I think would just be a really, really tough one for him. So he knows that those opportunities will come up at the end of the day. I remember going on the BBC the other week and said, well, the Chelsea job, we spoke about it being a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. At this point, it's probably once every season or two. Well, yeah. Pochettino did a year. I know that Maresca's going to get... Have you seen Maresca's contract? It's 5 years with an option for a further year. I'd be surprised if he makes it halfway through that, to be perfectly honest.
That's optimistic.
Yeah, so... there's a chance it'll come again. The rumours in particular will come again. But whether it materialises into anything much more than that, I'd be a little bit surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, brace yourself again, friends. November, December, we are going to get the rumours again. Robert Enderby, statement. New KOA Premier League merch needed, starting with the blue bucket hats with Jaws-style shark fins sticking out of the top. Shark mentality, baby. Come on, you Blues. I like that, Robert. Obviously, if you want to get yourself some KOA merch.
I need to get myself some KOA merch. I need the hoodies or something. I'll wear it to all the games next season.
Yeah, and the hat. Yeah. That's all obviously available for you in our merch store, available via all our social media. The links are there. Nick Varney, I really like this question, AJ, and it strikes me this is one that you'll particularly enjoy. With talk of new managers came talk of new systems / formations. Now that Kieran is staying, do you predict he'll change much about our system going against the big guns? Right, so League One, Ipswich Town largely were a team that dominated the ball and pretty much played their opposition off the park, largely. And in Championship, we saw maybe a move towards... skewing towards a blitzkrieg counter-attacking side who could still obviously play very sexy football when they needed to. In the Premier League, again, another step up. What do you reckon McKenna will do in terms of style? Because that ability to counter-attack, again, I mean, in the Premier League, you'd imagine that most of the teams they play are going to have more of the ball. Mm-hmm. So that counter-attacking style would probably work quite well in the Premier League. What do you reckon that McKenna might be thinking?
Yeah, I thought that. I was thinking coming into last season, having watched back some of the games and highlights, you know, this is a dominant team and that's what it's going to be in League One. And I watched the Sunderland game and they were just striking on the counter all the time. And that was how they were getting joy. And obviously it wasn't kind of necessarily the diehard game plan going into every single match. It was pretty versatile. They did different things. But I think that's a strong one to use in the Premier League. At the end of the day, Kieran McKenna is so good when it comes to game plans, when it comes to individual bits. There are things that we see, for example, like the one that always sticks into my mind is George Edmondson coming in at centre-back to kind of have the right profile of coming up against Liam Delap at Hull. Home to Hull in that 3-0 win worked perfectly. Delap didn't get a sniff. And there are other ones as well. Behind the scenes, I think there are some things that maybe we don't get to see in terms of those little tactical tweaks. In the past, we've seen that switch to a five that can kind of happen in game. Wes Burns drops deeper, Harry Clark comes in a little bit more narrow at centre back. There are so many different things that they can go and implement, and I think it just will be different on a game by game basis. You're not going to approach a game at home to, I don't know, let's say Wolves or Fulham or a team that maybe might be in that same kind of bracket where Town might think, well, if we stand toe-to-toe with them, we've got a good chance of coming out of this with a good result. They're not going to approach that in the same way as going to the Etihad, where if they try and stand toe-to-toe with Man City, you'd be lucky to escape with it being double digits, probably. So it's about being versatile more than anything. There's this argument that comes with the approach in the Championship. They're not a good defensive side because of the goals they've conceded. I don't think that's the case, because if you're going to play as a front-footed attacking team, you're going to concede goals. You're going to play out from the back. You're going to concede goals. And it's just about, yeah, definitely up kind of not upgrading, but just making slight tweaks to adapt to what the Premier League sides are going to offer in terms of their quality, in terms of the way that they want to play, in terms of the fact that they are very, very experienced at this level, some of them. But the principles are still going to stay the same. As was said in that video, they're going to attack the league still. But it might just be in a slightly different way.
Yeah, I think if you're going to put your faith in anyone to come up with a bespoke approach to attack the Premier League, that would be Kieran McKenna, wouldn't it? Out of pretty much everyone out there. Right, final question. Our old friend Ben Diath, who I also note was in Southold over the weekend. Hope you had a good time. The Lord Nelson there, which is one of my favourite places to have a little pint in Southold. Good day to you, Kings. What a time to be alive. Delighted K-Mac has penned his new deal. Excellent for all parties and well-deserved. Has Stuart Watson been in similar negotiations for next season with the EADT? If so, what performance-related clauses has Mark put in? I can't confirm or deny there's been... There's a lot of external noise right now, is what I'd say, Ben, about this, but not a lot of internal noise. I can confirm that I will offer him a performance rated bonus, though. If he can grow some hair, he can have some more money. So if he can finish the season with a top knot, he can have a 20 grand bonus.
What is more likely, that to happen or Ross to pass his driving test?
Actually, in that scenario, I'd still say Stu growing hair.
Yeah.
Just spontaneously just starts growing hair again.
It's not even the hair. I genuinely think he can get the top knot before Ross passes the driving test, to be honest.
I'm inclined to agree with you, AJ. I'm still not sure, as much as I want Ross to be independently mobile and not have to rely on his army of drivers, I'm still not sure that's the best thing for humanity.
Ross, can you imagine him driving all of us up to Newcastle or something like that?
No, I can't. And yeah, I'd be worried, if I'm honest. Ross behind the wheel of a 3-ton mechanically propelled vehicle driving at 70 miles an hour. I'm not sure that's safe.
What car would he drive?
Oh, God.
What would be the first Ross Hall's car?
We'd have to get him one of those little, 1 litre little Fiats that you can't really do too much damage in, I think.
You could get a two-seater or something like that. So Stu can make his own way up, and I'll just get him this little two-seater box that speeds up the motorway at 40 miles an hour.
Yeah. Definitely we'd need to have a speed limiter on it, I reckon, of 10 miles an hour.
You'd need to have a KOA black box where you personally can monitor what his speed is going up the roads.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we shall see. But yes, I definitely agree with you. Stewie bringing back the top knot, just spontaneously start growing hair, is probably still going to happen before Ross passes his test. Yeah. Right, that brings us to the end of mailbag then. AJ, is there anything else you'd like to discuss, either around McKenna or Ipswich Town? Anything else? I mean, you've teased there a bit of content. We should say you've also done something around your top 10 Premier League players to look out for next season, which I'm looking forward to reading.
Oh God, I'm trying to think about the thing is with this last week. We've been creating content, thinking, well, we can use this down the line, and then having to kind of scramble to put things out. So I'm trying to remember what's gone up and what hasn't here. That one hasn't gone up yet.
No. It's not gone up yet, friends. No,
so that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I've taken the top 8 Premier League teams and picked a player from each of them. It's not like small names. It's not necessarily the biggest names. It's just interesting names that they're going to be coming up against. Obviously, your Erling Haalands are going to be there. I think it might be interesting to see Town play against James Maddison as well, knowing the links and some of the comments he's been making on Twitter in the last few weeks, and maybe Luke Wolfenden might want to snap him in half. So yeah, that would be one of the bits that will come out. Obviously, I've teased the other one already in terms of the putting you in the shoes of a new signing. There'll be lots of those different bits coming out. I've already done one on players from the Championship that Town could sign. I think that got received pretty well. Didn't get many death threats for that, so it's good. There'll be lots more of those ones to come. I love doing those. It's going to be a busy summer. We all know that in terms of the rumours and speculation. I think But I listed all the players. I'm not going to do it, but like all the players that have been linked with Town in the last maybe 3 weeks. I think we'd probably hit somewhere between 10 and 15. So trying to filter between the reliable ones and the four-letter word ones are slightly tricky sometimes. I understand that, but said we'll try and bring you what we can. Good insight's going to be really important for us. I'll do all the research I can into all these players, everyone they could sign, what they need to improve. I've also gone through, obviously, had a look at what the retained list could bring as well. That was the other bit I did in terms of who might be moving on, where they could need to strengthen the squad, what the depth is going to look like, what's going to happen with the low knees, lots of different things like that, what the contract situations are of different players. So you can go check that one out as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, this last week has been, as you say, we've stockpiled content. We've had content ready to go, which we couldn't run, obviously, until it was officially confirmed. And there have been periods of just feeling like we're going to be sort of paralysed by inertia, just sat there just waiting for the news. Oh, it's going to happen at 2. It's going to happen at 3. It's going to happen at 4. Oh, no, it's not happening.
It did obviously also have to happen, as you pointed out. I think it was the day before you booked in someone to come talk about the kitchen.
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock the following day, thinking at that point it will all be done and dusted. And of course, it had to be announced at 4 o'clock the following day, which I think is just, the prophecy had been fulfilled at that point. A lot of things we've had to kind of wait to put out. And as well, I understand that when you want constant updates, it's never going to be easy when we're coming out saying, here's 8 players they could sign. You might be sat there thinking, oh, I just really want to know what's happening with Kieran McKenna. I hope that you've been able to enjoy some of the bits we put out in the midst of the chaos, and also the coverage we've been able to do of the chaos. We have enjoyed it for the most part, I would say, apart from maybe the waiting game. But lots more to come.
Absolutely. I enjoyed Town tweeting from the Suffolk show whilst everyone was waiting for the big announcement. Here's a picture of a Suffolk punch. That was quite funny. Right, friends, that brings us to the end of a relatively short little podcast. Obviously, there's only one story in Town, and we've talked a lot about it there. Kieran McKenna remains at Ipswich Town, 4-year contract. We'll all be back next week. Stu, I think, is back Tuesday. Ross is back Monday. So we'll hopefully be able to do a 4-man pod next week, and no doubt there'll be other things to talk about. The retained list, you'd imagine, at some point is going to come out over the next few days. Fingers crossed. So just a reminder, support our sponsors. Use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery on our excellent club. But I just taken delivery this morning, friends, of with my Manscaped replenishment package, the Manscaped body wash, which I'm a big fan of. Excellent. Get yourself some of that if you've not tried that. And I've also, where has it gone? Well, I might have lost it. Oh, we go. New blade for the old weed whacker. Very important when you get to my age, because the old nose hairs start to become a little bit persistent. You need to keep changing those blades to make sure you get through them. and also, obviously, follow us across social media. Kings of Anger on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. How are we doing on TikTok, AJ?
We are doing well on TikTok. It's been a little bit quieter given the fact that we haven't really had too many.
There's not been a lot of videos going out.
We haven't had too many, but there will be more. There'll be lots of different content coming up, and I promise you it will get bigger and better in the Premier League as well.
It's going to be amazing in the Premier League, because you're going to be doing all the kind of new grounds and stuff, aren't you? I'd imagine on there.
Yeah, we're going to integrate some new bits, that's for sure. Some few more maybe behind-the-scenes style stuff that could maybe even be exclusive to TikTok. We'll have to wait and see, but we'll continue to grow in the same way that Ipswich Town continue to grow.
Absolutely. Perfect way to leave it then. Anything else to mention, AJ?
Long few weeks ahead.
Not as
long as the last week.
Yeah, you're so right, mate. So obviously, in terms of dates for your diary, retain this coming up anytime soon, hopefully. June the 14th, transfer window opens. Also the same day the Euros kick off. A lot of football to watch. AJ's very excited about that. And then obviously June the 18th, 9 a.m. is the big day, the fixtures day, where we finally get to find out who Town are going to play in the Premier League. When it will be Manchester United way first. That's continues to be my prediction, but we shall see. We're getting closer and closer to that now. Right then, friends, a breathless, sometimes boring, frustrating week is over. But just a reminder, calm down. Kieran McKenna is still Ipswich Town manager and will be, hopefully, for the foreseeable future. We'll speak to you next time, friends. Have a great weekend, and we'll chat again next week.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.